Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For God's sake.
I swear that I will go over there. Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. And we might be closer than ever to the P-tapes.
Yes. Woo!
Oh, my God. So, Hupke, as we have said many times on this show, I have like a little notes thing on my phone, and I just add topics as they happen because things move so fast these days that I, you know... We can be like, oh my God, that was only 24 hours ago. It seems like a month already.
Yeah.
I gave up this week.
Yeah, it was too much.
At one point, I was like, what is happening?
Just a whirlwind.
Oh, good. So, where would you like to start today?
Just briefly, I love Nikki Haley's response when they tried to throw her under the bus.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. But yeah.
Sure
with,
did.
Yeah. With the Russia sanctions, where she said, we're putting new sanctions on Russia. And then the White House is like, no, we're not.
Because I know you were what?
Right. And somebody like Trump, I guess, flipped out because he didn't know, whatever. And then. Kudlow, Larry Kudlow, the mullet head that they just hired from Fox News to be their economic whizball.
mullet head and whizball. That's where we're at so far.
Off to a good start.
Yeah.
Said, well, she was just confused. And she responds like major snaps with, I don't get confused.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was very like, with all due respect, yeah. I was not. She went right back. It was really good.
And, you know, I mean, she's an interesting person because she's one of those people who,
that's a very polite way of saying
she's towing. I mean, she's towing the line between sort of decent conservative and, you know, working in service of a madman. So I don't know. I mean, she's somebody who I obviously have not agreed with on a lot of things, but I mean, she responded, granted, under pressure to things regarding Confederate, you know, statues and it was the Confederate flag. When she was governor, and you know, I don't know. I mean, she's an interesting person, and I think she's very smart. I think she's very, I think she's somebody who has a big future, kind of politically. I could see, you know, certainly see her running for president and that sort of thing, and not being an entirely unreasonable person for that sort of.
I mean,
job.
At this point, like, would this person be a complete humiliation as a leader? Is where the bar is.
Right, our bar is extreme.
Like, right now, she probably wouldn't totally humiliate us on the world stage. Fine.
I've seen some very cute puppos I would vote for.
God.
And some doggers.
Oh, parakeets could do better and be less humiliating than this nonsense.
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought that was an interesting moment because, you know, unlike all the sycophantic, bumbling turds around Trump, she, like... just stood up and was like, no, I do not get confused, you know.
Yeah, don't be throwing me under the bus
here. Take my name out of your mouth right now, Kudlow.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that moment.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
like, I don't tend to agree with her on a ton of stuff,
no,
but
no,
like
no,
for
no,
that,
no.
I was like, hey, rock on with that little statement
Yeah, and I mean, look, again, she's somebody who I look at and see someone who politically I don't agree with, but who I believe is a sane and intelligent person. You know what I mean? Like and that's the real problem.
That's all I'm asking.
Right. That's
be a reasonable ass person.
Yeah, that's where we are right now. I mean, I've gotten to be like Twitter friends with a lot of like never Trump conservatives who I absolutely know for a fact stand in direct opposite of me in terms of guns and certain social issues even and stuff like that. But they're smart and they're willing to stand up and, you know, kind of speak up when, you know, they need to, and not just sort of bow down to this strange orange man.
The strange orange man. Yeah. I feel like, can we actually just nap the rest of this episode?
Sure.
As I'm sitting here thinking of all the things I would like to discuss, I'm like, this is exhausting.
It is. It gets tiring, I have
and
to say.
Let's talk about Hannity.
Oh, that guy. Honestly, a time of great sadness and tragedy on the political front, that was a moment of pure joy.
Giddy joy.
When that came out, first I thought, I was like, your kid, we're being punked. This is not real. Yeah. But then I saw enough reliable news people who were in the courtroom tweeting that, and I was like, what? It's like, how did we get this?
And even guests on his own show. Did you see that? Like, this clip has resurfaced. Like, it was it's only like not even 24 hours old, but it's like, and it kind of died down, and then it like got popped back up because it's on his show, in which one of his own guests is like, yeah, you should have disclosed
that.
I think it was
Alan Dershowitz.
He's like, yeah. you should have. Right. So like, I'm not saying Fox tried to bury it. I'm just saying it was like, it did not appear to be getting a lot of play on the Fox website. And then suddenly, like, that's fine. Twitter will take care of it for you.
Right.
And run wild with it.
But it's crazy. And then, I mean, honestly, for all the zero respect I have for Fox News, I thought as soon as that happened and we kind of got the nature of it, I thought there is no way on God's green earth that they don't suspend him immediately.
Yeah.
And they put out a statement siding with him. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? Like, I mean, that is, I mean, the level of unethical behavior you're talking about is staggering. I mean, it's just absolutely staggering.
Anybody else would be so fired.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this kind of thing before, but the kind of things you need to disclose just in your day-to-day life in a newsroom is pretty significant.
Yeah, totally.
Like, an example I often bring up, like when I was working on the like day-to-day General Tribune account, mm-hmm. For Twitter, and sitting there with the CT.com people and the breaking news desk and all that, anytime it came up that there was like a DUI related fatality, I would always just kind of like back off of that because I lost a family member to a drunk driver.
Right.
So people like after a while knew that, like just bypassed me on that one, mm-hmm. so that there wouldn't even be the illusion of bias.
Right.
Like, even if I was just saying this occurred more from, you know, even if we're just aggregating a story saying this occurred, alcohol suspected on Lakeshore Drive crash, anything, no, bypass me. Yeah. I wouldn't even touch it for that reason. And like, there was a time when there was someone on a beat I was covering died, and I had someone else write the obit because I knew that person really well, and it just didn't seem like the right move because it was going to be an obit with a lot of play. That's the day-to-day in a newsroom. Like, that's standard practice to do that and disclose that kind of thing. Because if it comes out later, you're a piece of crap and you're in so much trouble. And look, your reputation is all you've got in this business. And you must protect it.
Right.
And so one misstep, and you forever got this mark on you of like, well, this person didn't disclose that, so I don't know if this person is that trustworthy. This is some next level shit that I can't even imagine. I'm thinking in particular about the public and standards editor at the Tribune, who is an extremely ethical person and very by the book.
Yeah.
Immediately I thought of her when this story broke because I thought she would explode. Like,
right.
if that was a report, if that was a journalist under her watch, she would be so infuriated.
Well, yeah. And honestly, it wouldn't even, I mean, it would go above her and that journalist would just be fired.
Done.
The spot. I mean, there would be no, it would be like, all right, you're out.
No gray area, yeah, no deliberation. Like, you are done with all great malice. And
right.
Like, you are so done.
I kept trying to like draw comparisons. And I mean, if I include myself in it, like as a very vocal, at longtime critic of Donald Trump, if it came out that one of Hillary Clinton's attorneys had represented me for a speeding ticket,
yeah,
I would be fired immediately.
Absolutely, you would be fired.
And I should be fired, frankly.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Without question.
I mean,
if you came to bitch to me about it, I'd be like, listen to this bullshit, I got fired for this, I'd be like, dude, I get it.
And frankly, I wasn't even like, I wasn't at all a like fierce advocate for Hillary Clinton, the way that Hannity is a just insane advocate for Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, so it's just so ridiculous. And honestly, like, this just shows, this cements what we already really knew, which is that people who believe Hannity, people who follow Fox News, at least their opinion side of things, punditry side, are perfectly fine living in a world that they realize doesn't...
is based on unfair power structures held by...
Right. Or just where there just aren't any... It's just they're just being told what they want to hear. Because, I mean, if you don't care about the fact that Hannity was on there both attacking Robert Mueller, protecting Donald Trump, protecting Michael Cohen, the attorney,
right,
and lashing out like crazy at the FBI and saying they've overstepped and this is horrible and whatever happened to attorney-client privilege, blah, 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 without revealing that... And it doesn't matter what the attorney relationship was with Hannity and Cohen. He could have, as Hannity, I'm sure, I don't for a minute believe this, but Hannity claims like, well, you know, we just talked about a few things and I wanted attorney-client privilege and I would slip him $10 and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, get out of here.
I'm like, well, whatever. And I don't care. It could have just been that. And you still need to be upfront about that. And it would have been so easy because none of the viewers would have given a crap.
Yeah.
All he had to say was like, look, Michael Cohen and I know him. I've asked him some legal questions before. I just want to be upfront about that. Now I'm going to kiss his ass for 25 hours. I mean, you know, and he would have been okay. I mean, but to keep it quiet, which is another reason why there's got to be another shoe to drop here, because you don't go to that length to keep something quiet when it could that so easily be avoided.
What do you think the shoe is?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people speculate because of the work Michael Cohen has done for Trump and for the RNC or the big Republican fundraiser who paid off the Playboy Playmate like $1.6 million, that it's some kind of a sex scandal. I don't have any reason to think that about Hannity. I have no idea. But I just don't know.
I know you have a guess.
Okay,
come on.
You're right. Sorry.
Come on, Hupke.
It involves panda fucking. That's all I'm going to know.
What did the pandas do to you?
Did I take that too far?
A little bit.
Okay. Anyway, so I think that, I mean, they seized all these communications that Cohen had. And my guess is that there's been coordination between, I'm sure there's been some form of coordination between Trump and Hannity in terms of messaging and saying stuff and riling certain aspects of the base up and blah, blah, blah. And I'm guessing that Cohen was the go-between, the one who communicated that stuff to Hannity. So probably the communication they got is a bunch of email, you know, saying like, hey, you know, the boss wants you to say blah, 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 you know, and just show. So I think it would just reveal how much of a puppet Hannity is for Trump. Maybe there's something else in there. I don't know. I apologize for my foul language.
It's not the language. It's the pandas that I'm concerned about. I don't care about F-bombs. I care about pandas' well-being.
Yeah, I do too. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's a bad thought.
What do you think? What's
mine matches up with that pretty well. I think it was probably more informal though.
Quit stealing my conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to hop on board your conspiracy theory. I think it's probably a little more informal.
Yeah.
Just a little more like, you know, bros chatting, sharing. Like, eh, by the way, make sure you kind of downplay. Like, I could see that, which is a very difficult to prove sort of thing.
You could not ask, just as a quick sidebar, you could not ask, visually speaking, for more absolutely abhorrently worst people in the world looking people. I mean, when you see like Cohen, like you saw Cohen hanging outside smoking cigars with a bunch of jagoffs that he's apparently friends with, and I think some of them are like tied in with the Russian mob. So I apologize for that comment. But, and then him and Hannity, and I'm like,
it was weird. Then Hupke got assassinated like, out of nowhere, and I'm just doing the show by myself now. It's fine. I think
P.S.
the Russian
Russia.
People are fine people. Yes, exactly. Fine people.
But the. I mean, they just look like you would hear them, you'd overhear them at an Applebee's and want to just walk over and punch them. Like, you know what I mean? They're just horrible bros. They're just horrible, like, white, rich douchebags. They just look it. I'm sorry. I don't care.
I actually was on the bus with such a fine crew of gentlemen recently. My friend and I were on the bus, and because she's my friend and my neighbor, and we're on the bus together, and these like loud drunk dudes in obnoxiously expensive suits were there, you know, just ridiculous on the bus, making so much noise, irritating the crap out of all the passengers, and I was just sitting there thinking like, this is what we're dealing with on a national scene, because they just seemed so, like, even the bus driver was like, can you keep it down back there, and they're like, I'm a paying customer, I can do whatever I want, like yelling. I was like, right, but you're screaming in front of like a little old lady, and then there's a little boy who was sleeping and you've woken him up, you know. And anyway, so finally they get to the bar they were going to, and note to self, never return to that bar because that's who's going there. And And a few of them hop off. And it was a really squished bus ride. Like, we're all packed in there, breathing their disgusting cologne. And then one of them, who was, like, my friend and I are facing each other. One of them, who's on the other side of my friend, holds on to the two hand railings and does, like, a little pull-up and kicks his feet up. And I just kind of shoved my friend to the side, because if she would have even turned her head, he would have kicked her in the face.
Great.
And, like, of the two of us, I'm the chill one. Like, she would have killed him on the bus. She would have murdered him with her fists and lasers shooting out of her eyes. And she didn't know what was happening. She could hear commotion. Uh-huh. And we had been, like, rolling our eyes at each other the whole time. And as soon as they got off the bus, she's like, "What happened?" I was like, "Dude, that man almost kicked you in the face." But it was like, people were going, "Oh, good riddance, get out of here," you know.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of taken by the level of entitlement.
Yeah.
Right there, of like, be courteous, like, be like, whatever, go out and have fun. And I'm glad you're taking public transportation instead of trying to drive and kill people. But like, reel it in a little bit. Like, you're waking up sleeping children. You're like being an asshole to this little lady who's just like trying to sit there in her little rascal thing.
Right, right.
Like, be cool. And it was just this, like, the rules don't apply to me because I'm like, I've got money and I'm a dude and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Everybody knows. I mean, everybody knows exactly what we're
talking about.
Yeah. It's like, "Yo, Kevbo.
Yeah.
We're going to Hooters after work, man. Want to grab some wings?" Yeah. And it's torture. You know, it's absolute torture. And, yeah. So anyway, that's what that whole pack of thugs look like. But
actually, you know who I've been thinking about as all of this has been occurring is more of like this pack of brosive. When I used to live in New York City, I was a bartender during the Subway series, which would have been around 2099 or 2000. It was during that time, and the bar I was working in was kind of like right at, just a little north of Times Square. So like right there in Midtown. So lots of people were there of both teams, Yankees and Mets. It was then I decided to be a Red Sox fan and just skip all of this nonsense.
That's a wise idea.
But it was horrible. And these guys came in from, you know, like they were talking about like their brokerage firm, whatever. They're all coworkers, and they
brokerage.
Nice. I'm going to say that forever. And they, there was sort of like a split level bar. So there was like the floor of the next level was kind of waist level to you if you're standing on floor one.
Right, right.
And so there was these like banister spindles near their table, and they were getting excited about the game. They weren't even that drunk at this point, and pulled the banister off and were like beating on the table with like they were drumsticks with these spindles.
Wow.
And the manager and I go and approach them, and we're like, "You're going to get billed for that." And they're like, "Oh, I don't give a fuck," and just threw like seven $100 bills down. I was like, first of all, it's going to cost way more than that because you just ripped up a banister.
These are nice spindles.
Also, what are you doing? And I was thinking of, because they were so awful, they ended up getting, one of them got arrested because turns out they were Yankees fans and their waitress was, their particular cocktail waitress, she was a Mets fan, and they hit her with a ketchup bottle.
What?
Like hard over the head.
Jesus
and it broke.
Christ.
So we ended up calling the cops on them. But I was, and even then he was like, "I don't give a fuck. I'll be right out. You don't even know who my dad is, asshole." Like, and I think about those guys anytime I see that kind of behavior, because I was like, these guys had so much money. They had, I don't know if they had power, but they had whatever kind of power money can buy.
Yeah.
He was totally unfazed by getting arrested and was totally confident in his safety and that he would be out any minute. You know, I was just like, what disgusting privilege. And anytime I see that kind of like super corrupt horse shit like we're seeing right now, I'm just like, that is that.
Right.
At its lower level in its early 30s. That's what that looks like.
Yeah, totally.
Like that's if you don't nip it in the bud then.
Yeah.
I don't know how to nip it in the bud at the Wall Street level before it gets to the presidential level.
Yeah.
But it's that.
Yeah, no, totally. I've seen it a million times. I mean, when I lived out there too, it was the same. I mean, I just always, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
And it's just, you can spot them a mile away and it's just.
And smell and their Axe body spray.
Yes. And it's just, it's white privilege just sort of distilled to its, you know, purest essence. And it's,
well, it's all the awful things, right? It's like sexism and racism and capitalism. And it's just like all the stuff in one person.
Yeah, exactly.
Distilled, like you are the embodiment of everything.
Right.
Terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't be that guy, Hupke, is what I'm saying to you.
Oh, I'm not going to be. No, don't worry. I've passed my douchebag phase.
I can't even imagine that phase on you.
But But yeah, Hannity. So, I mean, he's still. They didn't even miss a beat. Like, I mean, he's just there. And I don't...
Untouchably there.
Right.
No consequences for me. Like, same with the throwing the $700 on the table because I tore up a banister. Same guy. Like, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm just going to, like, do this. I'm good. Like, I cannot stand that shit.
And I just don't know... You know, it's as these sorts of things happen, it makes me... It worries me about whether we do get out of this kind of cycle that we're in that has led us to Donald Trump, where... You know, people can just say false things, and it doesn't matter that it's false, and it just keeps going on. I mean, that they can just get away with stuff and just keep charging forward. I keep thinking there's going to be some kind of a reckoning, and maybe there will be yet. But
there might be, but what would it even look like?
Well, I mean,
than toppling all oppressive structures.
Well, I mean, it would, you know, in the moment right now, anyway, it would be the complete exposure of. You know, Trump, Cohen, Hannity, all of these people and their interrelations and the vast number of just shady, crappy, ridiculous, and possibly illegal things that they've been involved in. But the big but is, even if that happens, if that, you know, the curtain is pulled completely back to show what just a sham this whole thing is, does anybody care? I mean, we'll care, but I mean, do the, you know, that 35 whatever percent of people who are in the Fox News zone and are tuned into Rush Limbaugh every day, or, you know, some other far right turkey, will they buy it? I mean, will they just excuse it away? And can Trump and company just be victims, aggrieved victims, and blame it all on the libs and you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's what
no,
I just
I
don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and that's what scares me the most, because it's, and I think that's what's exhausting about this. Like you were saying before, it's exhausting. And I think part of it is, it's exhausting to see fundamentally stupid, incorrect, and unjust things happening with no push, you know, with no correction.
Yeah, that's fair. I just checked my phone because I wanted to look up a piece of data, and I got distracted because I realized that what the Fox News Twitter bio says, and it's all caps, like each word begins with a capital R, not all caps. Capital A, America's, capital S, strongest, capital P, prime time, capital L, lineup, capital A, anywhere. I went to look up something, and it was one of those, like, suggested accounts. Like, first of all, no. But also, America's strongest primetime lineup anywhere. All the only word that should be capitalized is America.
Right, of course, yeah. They don't care.
Follow America's number one cable news network, delivering you breaking news, insightful analysis, and must-see videos. Blah.
It took them a long time to tweet out anything about Hannity, I'll tell you that much.
Breaking
news.
Their last tweet is, Pittsburgh police warn officers to bring riot gear to work in event Trump fires Mueller.
I saw that story earlier. Yeah. That seems like a story that was probably like some kind of weird one-off that got swept up in the national, got the national spotlight on it for no particularly good reason.
But. Yeah. But let us talk, speaking of cops, let's talk about Starbucks.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. He would not be happy.
No. So what do you think about the how all the Starbucks will be closed for bias training or whatever, the bias, whatever their wording is?
Look, it is absolutely a PR move, but at that juncture where, okay, this happened, and the fact that they're responding this dramatically, I think is good. I mean, I don't hold out hope that this is like, you know, going to have a massive,
well,
you know, changed it.
You can't fix systemic racism in one workshop.
Right, right. But I think that it's something that other companies will take notice of, and it might lead other companies to address issues more seriously. It'll piss off the right people.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean,
Okay, like, who will it piss off?
It'll piss off racists. I mean, it's going to, you know, it has. Like, they're already spreading, I don't know if you saw this, they're spreading around coupons, like 4chan. Somebody printed up coupons that are supposed to be...
4chan is garbage.
Yeah, of course, but it made its way out into the, you know, actual...
A coupon for what?
It's a fake Starbucks coupon. If you're black, you can redeem it for a free cup of coffee. And it's, like, got all this coded language and stuff in it. It's complete... It's awful. But again, it made its way out. So it's like 4chan.
Oof.
4chan is hideous, but a lot of that same hideousness exists on Facebook and Twitter, as we well know. So, you know, it kind of filters, you know, it starts there, but then it bubbles out and then it spreads around among all the horrible people. What I'm saying is I think that especially right now with Trump and everything that administration has done in terms of race, LGBT rights, all these sorts of things.
Pretty much everybody except wealthy straight white men.
Right. Is that anytime there is a show of force like that and a company makes a significant, even if it's just a gesture, and again, I'm not praising them to the ceiling for this amazing thing they're doing, but I think it's an important statement, and I've said this before on here, that I think in a weird sort of way that the corporations and big businesses are what at least show us the direction that we're actually heading, right? I mean, Trump is showing us the direction that people are trying to pull us back into, but you don't see companies now, you know, catering only to predominantly white audience. I mean, companies are diverse. Companies are believe in diversity. And again, I don't know if it's for moral reasons or not. I know where you're going to go. And I'm not painting like a idealistic world. I'm not saying everything's perfect or that there's perfect, you know, fairness or equity. But what I'm saying is the public face of companies in advertising, in moves like this by Starbucks, points towards inclusion and, you know, acceptance. It does not point towards exclusion and, you know, white power and that sort of thing. I mean, it just doesn't. And to me, that tells you a lot, because it goes from being a moral thing, which is what it should be, to being a dollars and cents thing. And you don't see companies following Trump's lead in terms of how they're marketing, how they're doing these sorts of things. So
I think most of it is, like, plenty of it is marketing. I do not operate on the assumption that companies give a shit about me.
Right.
They give a shit about dollars that I do not have, but dollars.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, there are baby steps, right? Like, it was a big deal when, like, Cheerios had the interracial couple ad, that Super Bowl ad, but now there's, like, lots of interracial couples on ads. Like, it's a baby step, but I still think there's, like, marketing behind it.
Of course. Yeah, no, there totally is.
Okay.
But that's still good, right? I mean, because that shows you what the country, you know, they're going to market in the way that is going to get them the most money.
Right.
So if they're marketing that way, then that shows you that the
right.
vast majority of people are going to agree with that.
Yes. On the, like, diversity front, I don't know about that. I think a lot of people are talking about it, but I think the same. In fact, I think the same people are still in seats of power.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I think that people are being shitty about tokenism.
Yeah.
And that's demoralizing to a person to know that you're the token. That's shitty. Like, I've been that, like, in my own experience, I've been that woman on a panel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was like, I've been a person like, hey, can you be on this panel? I can't do it that date. Well, we really need a woman. Can you think of someone else?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, man. Fix your whole fucking event. Like, I don't have time to fix it for you. Fix it.
Right.
It's not my job to do the labor for you to not be a douchebag white guy organizer.
I can't tell you how many times they've called me a needed fourth white guy. And I'm like, look,
we really need some white guys on this panel.
I'm like, look, man, if you need fourth white guy, you're going to have to go somewhere now. Sorry.
Maybe they'll include you on the next, like, women's interest panel. Yeah. Those are my favorite.
I did actually. I gave a diversity speech to It was actually a decent sized conference at McCormick Place, And but it was off of my workplace column. Like I had I had written a lot about diversity in the workplace column, so they had me come in. But that was how I opened.
Yeah.
I said, look, let's, you know, I'd like to address the elephant in the room being that I'm a white guy.
Yeah.
Talking about diversity. But yeah, I mean, but it is
I think a lot of I feel like a lot of leaders are going like, diversity is a really big deal, but then they're not doing shit. Or they'll still like ask women or people of color or people who are both questions they would not ask of white men.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you completely about that. And I wasn't trying to say that.
No,
I think
I'm just. I know. I just want to say.
Yeah. No. You're right. I think that's an important distinction to make. It's just that I guess right now, if I'm going to see a reaction to what happened at that Starbucks, and what has undoubtedly happened at others, other just every kind of establishment you could imagine. I want to see this, you know, and I would like to see a lot more than this, but this is good. You know, I mean, okay. It's a good reaction.
So if you were the CEO of Starbucks, what would you do?
I would have done something very much like this. This is a very, again, I think this is a very smart move. I know like some people were struck by like his, he did an interview and I think he was almost in tears, and I didn't actually watch that interview. I just read about it, but, and that's all good. He may well be sincere. I'm not going to judge the guy.
Yeah,
I have no clue. But I think that this is a very good, quick response. Then I think what they damn well better do is follow through in their own company. Now, and I say that not knowing anything about the makeup of Starbucks.
Yeah, like I've never read their
I have no idea. They
company
may be,
manual.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, Starbucks is a pretty overall, as far as the giant corporations go and stuff, they tend to be relatively decent from what I've heard.
All I know is that I think it's a little bit easier for a worker to get insurance there than many other jobs.
Well, and yeah, but I think that, you know, I mean, in terms of environmental issues and stuff, whatever. But, you know, I've never heard a lot of, it's not like Exxon or, you know, like some, you know, place that is dousing penguins with oil or anything like that. To the best of my knowledge. But
first pandas, now the penguins.
Yeah, regardless. I'm going to have to get that part edited down, by the way. I think the next step is like, okay, we're going to do these nice little get-togethers to talk about race and racial issues internally with our 8 million coffee places. Then we need to reevaluate and look where do we stand in terms of representation in our corporation, in our restaurants or coffee shops or whatever you call them, and everything, you know, kind of across the board. So it has to follow, but again, that follow up that's going to take time. And if they had just come out and said, well, we're going to do an internal thing and we're going to reassess, everybody would have been like, yeah, right,
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
So I think this is a good thing to do. And I think, again, it does make a statement. You know, if something similar happens at Target next week, Target's going to have to do something similar. I mean, like, you know what I mean? It raises the bar for what we should expect from companies that where something this ridiculous happens.
I think it'll be interesting to see who is leading that training.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It'll be me. They hired me.
Yeah, like, they bring in a white guy, I'll be like, real nice.
Hey, gang.
You're an idiot.
My
goodbye.
My name is Rex. I'm here to talk about diversity.
Right. Because it's tough to be a white guy, pretty much. Yeah, dude.
What is diversity? Well, diversity is...
I think that... And that person may have already been named. I don't know. But I think that'll be interesting to see and then to... you know, see what they do after. If they just roll out like a marketing campaign that's like, we stand for this, I'll be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right.
If it's
days without calling police on black customers.
Right.
Like
right.
Calendar.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I teared up. Like, I felt
it's
terrible
horrible. No,
for
it's,
those
it's
guys.
Absolutely.
Like, how embarrassing.
Well, and also the number of stories that have come out, which I knew, I mean, again, this, it was awful. It also didn't surprise me in the least, unfortunately. But, you know, I've seen just so many stories since then about similar things happening to all kinds of different people of color. And also, this one, I don't remember what the number was on it, but this woman sent a great tweet where she said, just a little experiment, retweet this if you're white and you've gone into a Starbucks to either use the bathroom or get on the Wi-Fi without buying anything and not had any problems. And it was... I mean, it was like retweeted, like, which I have done that many times. I mean, and so Yeah. And I've done that knowing full well. I mean, I've thought about that before. You know, I've thought about the fact, like, yeah, this, I could never do this if I was black or Hispanic or, you know what I mean? I'd be, somebody'd call me out immediately. So, yeah, yeah, I agree with you, though. It's heartbreaking when you see, not heartbreaking, it's just like gut wrenching.
It's really real, it's fucked up.
Yeah,
is
it's
what
just
it is.
Total, right. And it makes me mad, and it should make everybody mad. And I don't, but you know, I think, I don't know how much more they could do than this. This seems to me like a big thing.
For right now, I think.
For right now,
But I think
right.
What happens next is, you know, there has to be a complete overhaul that's done very transparently of company culture.
Yeah, totally.
And you got to play the hand that you've been dealt in a way that doesn't make you money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. If it becomes, you're right. If it becomes a marketing thing or something like that, then they're really going down the wrong road there. But, you know, I think, I mean, the general response I saw seemed pretty positive from a lot of people, you know, big voices out there and stuff who I felt like were, you know, were noting this and being like, okay, well, you know, good. That's a good start.
Start,
you know?
There. See what, yeah. Right. Well, it remains to be seen.
It does, of course. But I mean, you got to, I mean, you know, I feel like you have to.
We got to wait.
Right. Well, and when a company responds, look, let's put it this way. If they didn't do anything, we would have been destroying them. And so when a company does what at least initially appears to be the right thing, and not just in moderation, but you know, this, I mean, closing all your stores for an afternoon for a company like that is a big, that's,
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Significant loss.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big gesture as far as I'm concerned. So I think when a company does something like that, I think we should give them at least
the
benefit.
Employees better be paid for that time.
Oh, right. Yeah. That would be something. But that's what I'm talking about, is that my feeling is that they've made such a big deal out of it, that they are going to do it right in that, those regards. Yeah. I mean, it would be like criminal if they didn't.
Look, but I already think, like, it's not my favorite coffee.
Yeah.
Like, let's start there. I don't go out of my way to see a Starbucks, and I do prefer the independent coffee shop when I purchase coffee, not make it. But, like, the problem they have against them is because when you are a giant company, there is a little bit of perverse joy that people will take in watching your downfall.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
So you have to, if he's sincere, like, let's just say that the CEO of Starbucks is completely sincere and he is mortified and super pissed off and is like, that's not going to happen. We got to fix this. I'm closing my stores and taking the loss and I'm paying my employees that day. You know, whatever. Say he's doing all those things. It just matters what happens next after that.
It does. And you know what? Another thing, too, is the question of how much of this was Starbucks' fault. In other words, that same person could have worked at Walmart or at a, you know, Burger King or anywhere. And, you know, so how much of it? Now, I'm not trying to get, listen, I'm not,
yeah,
this is not an effort
to get.
I hear
what you're saying. Yeah.
But that's another reason why that would have been a reasonable, I wouldn't have liked it, but that would have been a way that Starbucks could have handled this.
Remind me, did the employee that called the cops, are they fired?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought
or at least, well, I actually, they're not there. I don't know if I heard they were specifically fired, but they're no longer there. So I'm guessing they have to be gone, but I'm not sure about that. But again, I mean, that's why it impressed me, I guess, is because there were a lot of different directions they could have gone in. And one would be to just say, well, look, this was a bad actor. We've dealt with this person, and we are going to do some kind of training, blah, 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 whatever. You know, they could have done that. But instead, this to me is a sizable step above that. And in fact, they're actually, I mean, they really are taking ownership of what happened as opposed to saying, well, that was somebody went rogue on us,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah.
Because not only could I guarantee you that every single day this is happening all over the place.
Oh,
similar.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's just that this happened to, you know, be, you know, became a big deal, as well it should.
Right.
But so, yeah, I think I give them credit. And I think it puts other companies' feet to the fire when other things start to get exposed. And that's a good thing, a net good.
Well, and to me, that's like the best part of social media is that, well, okay, for example, a friend of mine, you know, she said something like, do it if I tweeted and told you about it every single time some fucked up shit like that happened, it would make your head spin. I said, I imagine. And she said, in fact, just a week ago, I went to Target and security followed me around the store.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I was just there to wander. And she's like, plenty of white girls were also just wandering around the Target because that's what single ladies do on a Friday evening. But security followed me literally the entire time.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm sorry, that's real fucked up. And that had to infuriate you, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Sure.
And she was like, that's, I'm so used to it. And that's shitty.
Yeah.
It's real shitty. So again, we are white people having this conversation. So there is a limit to our perspective we can offer. But to me, it just matters what they do next, as long as they keep going. And again, I don't have a horse in the race because I don't give a shit about Starbucks coffee either way. And I made fun of their stupid unicorn frappuccino mercilessly. Remember that?
I do.
You're like staring at me blankly.
That was so
like
weird. Hey, some people love the unicorn frappuccino.
Did you have one?
No, one of my kids did.
Well, because it's for children. Yeah. That's a thing. Like the millennial totally infantilization of food with mermaid toast and unicorn frappuccinos. Like, that's child's food. And then be an adult and, like, look, I love gummy bears as much as anybody. And my tell for when I know I'm about to get sick is nothing sounds more delicious than SpaghettiOs. So I'm with you, but like, I can't with the
baby
food
stuff. It's brilliant, though, because they suck, you know, like younger kids in there and just get them brainwashed at a young age and into the like Starbucks culture or whatever you want to call that. So that's all it's there for. It ain't for you and me. It's for
okay. I will give it to them. It's real cute when people Instagram pictures of the puppuccino of little dogs licking up the foam. That's real cute.
Yeah.
But that's it. You can get that anywhere.
No more.
Okay. Other brand I would like to discuss. Southwest Airlines.
Yes.
Okay. So a major engine malfunction happens. A piece of the aircraft falls off. One woman loses her life by being sucked out of the aircraft, which sounds horrifying.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
And any ish that any of us have about flying, you're like, see, that's the stuff. Because you always think, no, that's crazy. That will never happen. No, it could be sucked off an aircraft. Yes, you can. Yeah. And that poor woman, that's what happened to her. But the way we are discussing the pilot.
I almost tweeted something. Yeah, I know where you're going here.
Is infuriating.
Yeah.
Because it's like, whoa, wait a minute. She landed the plane? And she was a Navy what?
A lady pilot?
Yeah, people are really... I think even some women have been like, yeah, girl power. Like, you're not helping. Just be like, the pilot handled it wonderfully. Like, passengers were tweeting that she came back there. She personally spoke to everybody. And she was like, and before it happened, she was like, this is what's happening. We're missing part of the aircraft. We're going to have to slow it down.
Right.
And she, like, everybody was praising how she handled it, that she was totally cool about it. But, like, it was all about, like, and she was, it was so much about her being a woman and, like, what a badass. I'm like, so somebody was tweeting about, because there ended up being the movie about the plane that landed in the Hudson.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right.
What was the name of the movie?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember, but Sully was the...
Right. Yeah. So somebody was tweeting about that, like, I can't wait to see the movie, the huge multi-million dollar blockbuster starring A-list celebrities about her and who's going to play her. And I'm like, see.
No, somebody tweeted Tom Hanks will probably also play her.
I could not... I was like... I mean, I saw it and I was immediately looking at the fatality part. I didn't even give a shit about the pilot. Okay, one person died. What happened? Oh my God, this woman was sucked out of the aircraft. That's so horrifying. And she died by suffocation. Like, that is a terrible way to die. How scary for her in her last moments of life. I feel for her family. That's all terrible. But like, even the way I almost tweeted at one reporter in particular, because you know my thing, call out the particular byline, not the entire fucking industry. Right. But there was one, like a, it was a regional paper somewhere that's like not here. So I was like, it doesn't, whatever. I'm going to let it go. But it was really, it was so much about the pilot's gender. That was really like, they made such a point to put her femaleness in the lead of the story.
I would love to see an editorial cartoon with a guy trying to mansplain to her as she's landing the, you know, actually you might want to hit the,
Right. Well, actually.
But no, this is a thought bubble. This isn't my assertion, because I had the exact same reaction that you did. And I almost tweeted something about, like, Galdern, a lady hero this time.
Right.
Wow.
You know,
but, I mean, I wonder if an element, it's such a, that is a immensely male-dominated field, mm-hmm. right? And pilot. I mean, and that I'm not saying it yeah. should be. It simply is.
It is. Yeah.
So I do wonder if some of the golly reaction is just partially surprise at there being a female pilot, because you just yeah. I don't think I actually don't think I've ever flown on a plane with
what?
A female pilot.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
Yes, I've never. No, I don't. So I'm not defending the reaction. I'm sort of throwing that out as like a little thought bubble. Is I wonder that I feel like some of what of the hysteria or whatever you want to call it over her gender mm-hmm. has to do with the fact that it is also a role that you often don't see
maybe.
Women in. And again, not fair, but I mean, a lot of pilots come from like the military, and as
she did,
right.
She was a Navy test pilot,
right? So the
some kind of pilot, yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
one of those fields where, you know, you have to kind of. So if the feeding arena, the arena from which people come into that industry from, tends to be the military. It's been, I don't know exactly when they yeah. start, you know, women became pilots.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's a lag.
Yeah.
That exists there, again, not for the right reasons, but it does exist.
It's there nonetheless. Yeah.
I don't know. I did, when I stopped to kind of think about it a little bit, I'm like, well, maybe that has something to do with it. Like, is it possible that people are responding a little just because
yeah.
it is an you know?
The part that irritated me the most was the way it, like, just report the story.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you.
Like, don't play that up.
Yeah.
Now, there was one tweet in particular, I should have bookmarked who it was, but there was one person who retweeted that story, and she said, you know, I can't wait for the day when it actually doesn't fucking matter
right.
who the
yeah.
pilot is and like what their yeah. their gender is. But in the meantime, get it done, lady, and like had retweeted. And I was
yeah.
like, that's kind sure. of the way, that's like kind of the best way to play that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I guess maybe this is the difference, is I feel like journalists and headline writers, et cetera, should not be playing
absolutely,
up that.
Absolutely.
But as far as individual people's reactions,
well, I can't.
That I get a little bit more. That some people, in other words, I don't think somebody's being purely would be sort of have be it would be particularly sexist or anything if somebody to be like, wow, it's a. I mean, yeah, kind of, but I could see that element. You know what I mean? If I'm trying, that, and of course, I can't think of an analog version
yeah,
of that.
I have been wondering a little bit if a man would have, because it, such a point is being made to talk about like how incredibly, the incredible level of badass leadership that was shown. I wonder if that would be described the same way if the pilot was male. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to say.
I remember when the plane landed in the Hudson, I remember them talking a little bit about like the last thing he said. Because there was a TED talk from a guy that was on that plane,
yeah.
and he said the words you never want to hear is, okay, brace for impact.
Yeah.
And he was talking about everything that went through his mind in the 3 minutes between hearing that and actually hitting the water.
Uh-huh.
And it was a really interesting TED talk. So, but he was in there, and then in other places and in other interviews with people that were on that aircraft, they were talking about like he, you know, the pilot was such a cool character and helped keep everybody's calmness, which I'm sure is part of your pilot training.
Mm-hmm.
And it did sound like she was a total badass about it, and yeah. then really quite human, and went and checked on everybody after they landed and
yeah.
talked to everybody personally. And that's exactly what I would have done in her shoes.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, I'm not saying unfair to male pilots. They wouldn't get credit for being human. I'm not saying that. But I just wonder if there's like the expectation of a nurturing quality that's being called
for.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's certainly possible.
Maybe.
Yeah. It would be very believable. Let's put it that way.
I'm still very horrified by the idea of being sucked out of a plane.
Yeah. Seriously. It would have been, I wonder if it was a guy, if people would have been like, meh, like, another dude lands a plane.
Oh, if the pilot was male. Right.
Yeah, they needed a new hook.
I don't know.
Let's try.
But that's what's happening with Southwest at the moment. And they don't, I mean, they've been the airline that hasn't had much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had so many, especially United has had so many issues and scandals.
Lord, yeah.
That, you know, Southwest is terrible boarding process, but
indeed.
It's kind of like very friendly people on that aircraft, and you hate
yeah.
to see some shit happen to them.
Yes, indeed. So. Whereas on United, I'm still hoping to get my face beat in by somebody so that I can sue them.
That story is so
money.
Terrible. And then did you see that one of the law enforcement officers is suing, saying something about like he wasn't given appropriate training?
Really?
Yeah, this was just in the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
I was not told I shouldn't smash this person.
Nobody told
face.
Me to not beat that guy, so
yes.
I don't know what to tell you.
That's an odd defense.
Okay,
whatever.
But on the topic of gender,
Yes.
I have a very important announcement.
Oh, dear.
I have reached peak mansplaining. Because I got something far better than Will, actually.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I am.
The phrase was, no, you think you think.
Oh. Wow. That really...
In particular, I was asked what my favorite book is. And I said, I don't know if it's my favorite. I have a lot of favorite books. But a book that was very influential to me was, and it's not a book without its issues, nor is its author, but I read it at a time that I needed to read it, and it had the impact on my writing it needed to have. Uh-huh. So I said, it is Skinny Legs and All by Tom Robbins. Mm-hmm. And the next question was, why? And I said, because, you know, there's a lot of really memorable stuff, but more it's about the writing, and it made me feel like I had permission to write in the way that I wrote. Uh-huh. And I wasn't writing wrong. I was just writing my own self. Mm-hmm. And for Christ's sakes, a can of beans is a character, a sentient being in that book. Like there are no rules. And that was an interesting case study for me. And I found it at the right time. So, to which it was essentially said like, no, 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 no. You think that is Skinny Legs and All, that in fact is Still Life with Woodpecker. And I said, no, Still Life with Woodpecker is the one about the redheads. No, no, You think that. You think you think that.
Wow. That's like, what is that doing? That's like man conscience, consciousness.
You are trying to mansplain my brain.
Yeah, right. That's yes, exactly.
You think you know my own goddamn brain better than I do. No, no, you think. That's the book you're referring to.
Wow.
But in fact, what you're referring to is this. I was like, literally, I know this book backwards and forwards.
Right.
I guarantee you. Because what I would have said in that setting is like, oh, wait, am I thinking of the wrong book? Because I thought that was the one. I thought that book was Still Life with Woodpecker.
Right.
And then you discuss it because we're both human beings.
Right.
Nope. No. You think.
Man, I've never heard that one.
So I texted my friend.
That one's going places.
I texted my friend and I was like shrieking in all caps like, I've reached peak mansplain! And I was screaming at her over text. And she, you know, there's like the text effects where you can make the text like, you can make a text like bounce forward or you can make it do stuff.
Oh, no.
You know.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole, you got an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's a thing you can do. I'll show you.
Oh, man.
So she made the text like bounce forward at me like, you think? Question mark. Like I was.
That's crazy.
You think.
Yeah. I mean, I would never, I just don't even, I don't know how you even arrive at that statement. You know what I mean? Like I would say, I mean, if I really thought that.
If I really believed.
Yeah, I might be
that
like,
I had the right book.
Right.
I would say, are you sure? Because
yeah, right.
I think, because I'm all about the I statements.
Yeah.
I would be like, are you sure? Because I think that that's the book. I think that's Still Life with Woodpecker.
Right.
In which you would say, no, it's my favorite book. I promise. I've read it a million times. Still Life with Woodpecker is the one about the redheads.
Yeah.
And we would have had a discussion. Eventually, one of us would have Googled it.
Yeah. Or I probably would have just said, yeah, you're okay. She must be right.
It's her favorite book. Who
right,
cares?
It's her
whatever.
Favorite book. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'd like to get to where
I have other shit to do.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Right. Instead, we are left with you think.
I'm definitely going to bust that one out, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, so be prepared to feast your ears on that one many times on the program.
At tonight's patriarchy meeting, I'm definitely bringing that one up.
Motion to include you think yeah. In the well actually canon of literature.
Do we have a brorum? Brorum? Then let's vote.
This is the same friend that that I was texting about this, that if you follow me on Instagram, there was a text exchange between us in which we were saying Broside, King of the Brotion, and Brosperity, Professionalism, and
yeah.
Broletariat, and all of that. Yeah, same friend. And so we went directly back into that conversation after I was enraged at the unchecked Brosperity in front of me.
That is, yeah, that's a corker right there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Wow.
But I did tell the dude, I'm super going to call you out on Good Enough Can Politics.
Oh, good. That's good. Okay.
I straight up said. It was someone interviewing me.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So I said, like, listen, to be fair, I'm totally going to call you out on that show.
Good. Hey, dude. Bad call on that one.
Yeah, and it was like, I don't know, I think he was going for some gotcha journalism.
I think he thought. Is that right?
No, no, Huppy. You think that he thinks. But in fact, my brain just blew up.
Yes, exactly.
And we're out of time.
Probably
so that's your gift, mansplainers. There's an advanced tool for you in the mansplaining toolbox.
Yeah, emphasis on tool.
Yes, indeed. So that's all we have. Let's try not to get into any international incidents in the next week.
Sure.
Question mark?
Yeah, dot, dot, dot.
Again, hope we're all here in a week, that we have not been nuked off the face of the earth.
That would be good, too.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for now on Guth and Huppy and Politics. We'll see you next time.